Hey folks, good night, good night. Welcome back to Let's Talk Relationships on Radio. This is DJ KTE.
And I am your girl, Lady Misty.
The one and only.
The one and only. All right. Good night to everybody listening on You Me Radio. We are back. We are in season 2, guys. Episode 15. See, I'm running ahead of myself. One five. Yes. And tonight, guys, we are continuing part 2 of our virtual roundtable with all the men. So again, I'm surrounded by all this testosterone, and it just makes me feel so hot.
There you go. Feeling hot. All right.
Right. And tonight, we'll be talking about dealing with separation. That's what we were talking about last week. We're going to continue the discussion this week. And we are going to culminate with the topic tonight, heal, brother, heal. Yes. So we opened some wounds last week.
We're going to heal. We did. We actually had a few guys came out and, you know, really got emotional, and some with a little bit more subdued. But I think, you know, with the discussion last week, there was so much to say that I think all the brothers didn't say as much as they wanted to say.
Yeah.
So I think having a part 2 really is a good thing, because now we can hear more from them. And what we're going to ask, though, tonight, our brothers, we're going to ask your favorites. A lot of guys in here. And typically, we guys don't talk much, but I think you guys have broke the mold and you proved us wrong. Y'all can talk. So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to be very conscientious of the time, all right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to try to keep our responses as condensed and timely as possible, so we can hear from all the brothers, all right? But I think you guys did a great job last week, and I'm looking to have a lot of fun and excitement. We're going to get deeper this week, and we'll get deeper into your soul and get the truth out, because some of y'all held back last week, but it's all right. That's why we got part 2.
That's right. So I want to shout out to all those who are listening to us in the virtual space. Come on, you guys, without your company, we don't have a show. All right. So for those on YouTube, for those on iTunes podcast, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Google Podcast, Podbean, Live 365, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, Radio.net, and Stream Finder. Listen.
We got them all, and more coming. That's it. Y'all make it happen. All of those
who keep it true to You Me Radio, I got to say a big up to you guys. Big up to all those. Enough respect.
Yes.
All right. So let me hasten also to thank our sponsors, because, you know, without them, we got no show either. So I want to thank, as usual, UMEDigitalInc.com, Mindfulness in Ministry Masterclass, MyCoachMinistry.com. Guys, please go and check out the courses on Udemy. You at home, you ain't doing nothing. Come on, grow your mind. Go learn something.
And listen, let me throw this in real quick, Lady Misty. Listen, you know, when it's COVID season, and, you know, we're trying to get out of it, and a lot of people around the world and in this country, they're trying to find something online. You need the right equipment. You need the right training. You need the right support. Guys, check out UDMI, You Me Digital Media Inc. Guys, we have all you need as far as training and resources and networking. We can hook you up. So check us out, all right?
All right. And also, we want to say thank you to AccessBusinessTree.com, an empowerment tool to help business pros build around their ministry. And last but by no means least, Shop and Own. And that's with an N, okay? So it's shopnown.com. Yeah. That's right. Your personal online shopper and e-commerce store designer exclusively for sellers and buyers. And when you get over there, guys, we have a special discount code for you. So don't forget to use the discount code LTRSAVE, and you'll be saving a lot of stuff.
Yes, you are.
Remember to get the app now on the Apple Store and the Google Play Store. We're right there. Go get them. All right. So we are moving right into our hot topic discussion for tonight. And we spoke about it last week, but we didn't really do much justice to it. So we want to dive into it a little bit more tonight. And we are talking about domestic violence and, you know, an overall threat to Black power. So tonight, we're going to be looking at the pending divorce between Dr. Dre and his wife and the alleged abuse. So the divorce between Dr. Dre and Nicole Young is getting ugly, guys. Yeah. In addition to the fighting over a prenuptial agreement, Young is now alleging that Dre has a history of violence towards her and other women. Now, it says here, a Rolling Stone article highlighted that the second half of the album, which includes tracks such as To Kill a Hooker, Find Them, Effin and Flee, and One Less Bitch, stands as a graphic violent suit of misogyny, unparalleled in rap, and a marked contrast to the first side's post Compton Street Fury. We didn't try to do a side that was hard and then a section about bitches, says Ren, but it was cool. The first side has you mad, so that's the first side of the album, guys, and the second side has you going crazy. Then the second side makes you laugh. So the first side makes you go mad, has you going crazy, and then the second side makes you laugh. And Dre says himself, and I quote, people talk all this shit. You know, somebody F's with me, I'm gonna F with them. I just did it. You know, I ain't nothing. I'm sorry, let me read that again. I just did it. You know, ain't nothing. You can't do nothing now by talking about it. It ain't no big thing. I just threw her through a door. So that was a quote from Dr. Dre. So Dr. Dre has discussed his history of assault and abuse towards women, stating that he was out of his effing mind. Dre's violent assault of former television host Dee Barnes was detailed in a 1991 Rolling Stone article. In a statement quoted by this article, Barnes described an incident in which he began slamming her face and the right side of her body repeatedly against a wall near the stairway as his bodyguard held off the crowd. Dre then reportedly tried to throw her down the stairs before kicking her in the ribs and hands, grabbing her from behind by the hair and proceeded to punch her in the back of the head. Wow. Dre and his bodyguard ran from the building. His NWA bandmate, Ren, stated at the time that she deserved it. Bitch deserved it. Eazy-E agrees. Yeah, bitch had it coming. This incident and other past incidents of violent assaults towards women were excluded from 2015 Straight Outta Compton movie, a movie which prompted Dre's ex Michelle to detail further abuse, referring to herself as just a quiet girlfriend who got beat on and told to sit down and shut up, and labeling his subsequent apologies as insincere. Wow, that's a mouthful. Wow,
that's you know, it's funny because as I read this, right, I hear the language, but I wonder how many men, what be it called the regular guy who is not a known name, or could be a church guy who goes to church, do the same thing, but maybe not as graphic, maybe not as, you know, I would look at, you know, in the intensity of it. How many of us really do that to our women?
But hold on, listen to this.
Wow.
Domestic violence includes emotional, psychological, economic, physical, and the sexual abuse. So it's not only one-sided, all right? It is one person's way of attempting to control another. Domestic violence impacts all communities, regardless of race, class, religion, or sexual orientation. Men also experience domestic abuse. However, 85 to 95% of domestic violence survivors are women. The National Black Women's Health Project identified domestic violence as the number one public health issue for women of African ancestry. Can you believe that? So it's not cancer. Yes,
that's
it's not a crazy number. It's not any of those diseases. It's domestic violence.
That is incredible. Okay?
Opponents of this position might argue that domestic violence is more prevalent in communities of African ancestry than other communities. However, due to methodological shortcomings, the overall reliance on data from poor socioeconomic communities and this disproportionate presence of law enforcement in communities of color, the true prevalence of domestic violence and in communities of African ancestry is inconclusive. Yeah. The statistic says, and this is really disturbing, in United States, one in three women and one in 10 men will experience domestic violence in their lifetime. Wow. Each year, domestic violence is estimated to affect 10 million. Can you imagine? 10 million people in United States. Yet, for Black women, though, the numbers are even more stark. It's even more alarming, guys. So more than 40% of Black women will experience domestic violence in the United States. In comparison, 31.5% of all women will experience domestic violence. A report from the National Center of Victims of Crime found that 53.8% of Black women had experienced psychological abuse, while 41.2% of Black women had experienced physical abuse. More disturbingly, Black women are 2.5 times more likely to be murdered by men than white women. Wow. In the overwhelming majority of cases, 92%, the person who killed them knew their victim. 56% of these homicides were committed by a current or former intimate partner. Nearly all, 92% of these killings were interracial, which means that they were committed by a Black man against a Black woman. Well, with statistics like these, the Black Women's Health Project determined that domestic violence is the number one health issue facing Black women. Yeah, I know that was a mouthful, but...
Sometimes you have to bring the numbers out. You know, it's not just talking, but these are real numbers, and it's quite disturbing. But it's a stark reality that we have to face with. So, you know, as the conversation goes on, we can hope to see changes. You know, we can hope to see men rise to the occasion and take their rightful place and help to curtail some of these things.
It's hard to do, man. It's so hard. And all I can say is, as a Black woman, it's hard to know that I'm a part of that statistic, because I know what abuse is like. You know, I know what domestic abuse feels like, and it is so heart-rending in even reading that statistic to say, hey, this is more serious than we think. And we have to take a look at how we're treating each other, you know, how we are defining love, how we are defining how we are treating each other. Are we being good humans to each other? It's not even about race or class or anything like that. Are we being good humans? And if we go back to the story with Dr. Dre, it's so unfortunate because I'm reading this article, I'm like, wow, they made fun of everything that he did. So he kicked a woman down the stairs. Okay.
Allegedly, right?
About that. Well, allegedly. Allegedly he did that. But listen. And it's like
it does happen. Like, it does happen, yeah.
And it's nothing.
So the question is that now, what would make a black man, right, in these times, knowing the sensitivity of our, you know, of the prison system and the laws and the risk of losing the career, you know, how he built over these years, what would make a man be that angry or that, I guess, unfocused or just maybe, you know, just mentally not there, emotionally, you know, I guess, unaware that these actions can cause him, you know, what he has. Is there something going on behind it that he knows that we don't know? Are these men who have these power in these powers position, what would they do this thing, knowing that they can risk their entire empire that they've built?
Because, well, for one, I think because it sells, you know, violence sells and sex sells, violence sells. And, you know, that's the reason why we have platforms like these to speak about it and let a brother heal. Because when they heal, we all heal.
Well, speaking of brothers, tonight we have what? We have quite a few brothers here tonight with us.
Yes.
On this second part two. And we have Pastor Justin Francis. Welcome, welcome. Glad to have you here. We have Reverend Trevor Edwards.
Yes.
We have some wisdom here tonight, some wisdom, which is great. We have Davion Forbes. We have Mr. Philroy Pacey. And we have Tyrone Shaw. And then we also have Mr. Gary Higgins with an S. Gentlemen, again, welcome, welcome. Thank you for being here tonight. You are really, really did a great job last week. You guys had a lot to say, and I'm sure we got some responses back from folks who are listening from around the world and different parts of the on social media, and they had a lot to say, and they were very inspired by some of you guys. They were moved, they were challenged, and that's what it's about. We're about touching 1 million lives. And it's going to happen with, you know, with us working together as a team, whether it be in different backgrounds, American, Jamaicans, Caribbeans, Africans, we're going to come together and we're going to build. And again, guys, I thank you for being here again tonight on this Let's Talk Relationship.
Yes, I'm going to be just talking about them a little bit more intimately in a moment. But guys, for those of you who are listening, please remember, if you are on YouTube, please drop a line in the comments area. Somebody's there ready to interact with you and we'll get your questions and your comments. All right. For those of you who are listening live on UMI Radio, please feel free as well, because we want to hear from you too. So please drop your text, drop your comment to this number. It's 201-503-6731. That's 201-503-6731. So we have a wonderful, wonderful roundtable tonight with some awesome men. I feel so good because I'm the only rose among the thorns.
But we promise not to bite though. We be gentle. We be cool. Tonight.
You better not, because I'm gonna bite back. Okay. All right. So tonight we are joined at the table tonight for a second time, Mr. Tyrone Shaw, and he's a 38-year-old two kids born in St. Anne, and he lives in Limehall, St. Anne, Jamaica. Right, he attended the Limehall Primary School, then he moved to Marcus Garvey Technical High School, still here on the island, and he is a part owner of RTSS Courier and Shipping. He enjoys playing football, reading motivational books, especially the ones How to Make Money. Yeah, all I right like now. Him already. All yeah, right. I consider myself, he considers himself to be very jovial, hardworking, and he loves his kids. He works hard to ensure that they are taken care of. So that is Mr. Tyrone. Good night, Tyrone. How are you?
Good night. Good all night.
Right. How are you? So I'm moving on now to Philroy Facey. And he is a confident, young, business-minded king. Oh, my God. Just reading this, I feel so good. All right. So he worked with Corporate Jamaica in the life insurance industry for 6 years. And whilst he was there, he was an award-winning worker. Yeah. His passion is really in events production and audio engineering. He resigned and he followed his passion. And now he owns his own production company, Dr. Phil Entertainment, where he does complete events production and management. So since the COVID-19, he says here that he has evolved to include video production and live streaming. So, hey, Doc, good night. Last week we had Davion Forbes. He's not here tonight on joining us on the table. I'm not sure he'll join us later, but we move on to Pastor Justin Francis. And he was born and raised in Miami, Florida, to Jamaican parents. He's an artist, a businessman, a record executive, I said pastor. He's a musician and a scholar. He lived in Chicago. He's been living there for the past 8 years, and he serves as an elder at his local church and as a pastor at a Chicago nonprofit ministry. So he is Pastor Justin Francis, a.k.a. Justin Marta. Ooh, I want to hear about that name, but not tonight. All right. Then we move on to Gary Higgins, and he is a pretty open guy. He is a lover of music. Yeah, he's a lover of music. He is CEO of 3G's Up Productions. And he's a musician, he's a sound engineer, and he's a sound engineer of 3G Sub Productions. And that completes my table. Am I leaving anybody out tonight?
I think we have them all.
Yeah, and no. Last but by no means leave, we have our Rev in the house.
Yeah,
we have Reverend Trevor Edwards, yes, to drop some wisdom on us tonight. He is a Baptist pastor, part-time lecturer of pastoral theology at the United Theological College of the West Indies, and he is director of the divorce support group in association with the Family Life Ministries. He is married to the lovely Sharon Earl Edwards with 4 adult children and a daughter-in-law. So we have such a rich table tonight.
Yes, we do.
Good night, gentlemen. How are we all doing?
Night.
Great.
Fantastic.
All right, good.
Thanks for having me.
You are all so welcomed. So tonight, and thank you, Pastor Edwards, for coming. He's new to the table tonight. Before we begin talking, I want to share a poem with you just to open up our discussion. And this was written by our lovely coach, Raquel. Shout out to you.
Uh-huh.
I'm pulling it out to read. So it says, I am woman. I don't want to hurt because I love you without cause. I don't want my heart to bleed because you don't want me at all. I don't want my mind to be spent missing you all day. I don't want to accept that you don't think of me anyway. I don't want to give you details for events you care less about. I don't want to think you care when you just want me to shut my mouth. I don't want to be the one with the womb. I don't want to go through all these emotions every month. I don't want to be the one who just can't be done with it. I don't want to be the one whose issues isn't legit. So why am I the one who is stuck with all the details? When you get to hit the target straight, perhaps God knew we could handle complicated. And he knew you could only keep it simple. Imagine if we could both love each other instead. And that we're enough to keep, and that we're enough to keep us humble, then perhaps we could truly love. And being a woman wouldn't feel so tough. So this is from a woman. What do y'all men think? Good night.
Good night.
Good night again.
All right.
What do y'all think about the poem?
Pretty reflective of a woman as she expresses her own thoughts about some of the unique things about a woman and their ability to be a mother, ability to bear a child, which is really a gift, the opportunity to do that. And which sometimes it brings its own pain. And she represented or reflected some cultural issues in terms of why is it that I'm the one who has to do so many things, which are some of the gendered position or actions of society. Society says women do this and men do that.
Yes.
But that's not necessarily how we were born. There are some things which are given. So it's a kind of a protest I hear. There's a little resolution that comes near the end where she's saying, well, I'm a woman, and maybe if I felt that there is mutual appreciation, then I probably would deal with some of these a little better. That's what I was hearing.
Okay.
All right. Now, tonight we are really diving into the topic of separation and the process of how our men heal overall. And in reading this poem to you, gentlemen, how do you feel if your woman comes to you and says, listen, this is how I'm feeling, this is what I'm going through, this is how I feel. As Pastor Edwards is saying, I'm protesting because the relationship is at a crossroads. It is going to end. It has ended because of some of these issues that have been highlighted in the poem. How do we go now to down the road of healing? So let me start with, I want to go around the table. So let me start with Fitzroy.
You're
the first person that came on my screen.
Mr. Phil, you there?
No.
No, he's not.
All right. Tyrone, you want to jump on that question for me?
Oh, how do we heal?
Yes.
From that, right?
Yes.
For that question, can be a little bit tricky because healing the relationship or healing the person self?
Let's talk about the person first, because if the person is not healed, the relationship can't heal.
Yeah, because it's gonna be hard to heal, mm-hmm. because after it's certain things have been pointed out, that mean it's already too late, and it's mm-hmm. gonna take some work to really get you back to where you ought to be. And if you're okay. talking about moving on with life, mm-hmm. you can, it's like you have a sore, you know, but it's look like it heal on the outside, but it's still not heal on the inside.
Okay.
All right, Gary, you want to take a stab at it?
I'm sorry, who
did you think? You want to take a stab at that question?
Oh, sure. So if I'm hearing, I'm not sure if I'm hearing two different questions here. One I heard was if my significant other or my woman was to come to me and say what was said in the poem, what would my response be? And the gentleman before me was addressing how to heal.
Yes.
So is
so,
that
so we stand on it, we stand on the healing aspect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So interestingly enough, you know, there are some, you know, key elements that would you know, and this is my perspective, would be necessary, and you know, establishing balance would be you know, one factor. You know, sacrificing, so you know, submission one to another would be very important in order to create, you know, balance. To heal, you know, I think, you know, for me, love is a choice. So oftentimes when, you know, people say, I love you, it's until, you know, they're not satisfied with, I guess, you know, certain expectations, or you are, whether it is because you're in a broken state or you're wounded or you yourself need healing and you cannot necessarily, you know, function to the capacity that maybe you once, you know, were capable of functioning, then, you know, the love, so-called love, is withdrawn. But for me, love is a choice. So in spite of, you know, and I understand that there are also, you know, different types of love. The agape love, which should never be a substitute for any of the other loves. The phileos love, the eros love, and we could go on and on and on, right? The agape love, however, is unconditional, you know, love that, you know, Christ have for us in spite of. So that was one of the things that, you know, for me, I was able to demonstrate in, you know, my previous marriage, which it allowed me to be accountable, you know, when things weren't necessarily, you know, going the way they, you know, should have been going and so forth. So, you know, I didn't compromise my character and stuff like that, you know, friendship, you know, being able to kind of separate yourself from the experience in a sense and listen and, you know, put your feelings aside for, you know, maybe a moment so that you can hear and, you know, listen from their perspective and how they're feeling, you know, just to say a few things.
Okay. All right, Justin.
Yeah, appreciate that, Gary. Yeah, I would, I want to make sure I'm being a good listener. So I would make sure I understand exactly what's causing this. And then I'd probably want to know, what can I do to help you heal? You know, I probably would ask that question, because I don't want to assume I know what to do. And then I try to do something out of a great, you know, the right place, but it's the action that that person wants. There's a pastor named Dr. Gary Chapman, and he talks about the way we apologize, that a lot of times we apologize in a way we think the person would like, but it's not even what they were looking for. And then it's what we wanted to say. So it's like, I'm sorry, how can I, you know, reconcile? How can I make these things better? So I would look for that for my wife, significant other, to inform me on how can I help you heal? Because I might not have the right idea. I might think you need this and it's really that. So we get into the scriptures, we pray, but then I'd be like, hey, do you need space? Do you want counseling? Like, I would ask the person how best to go about that, so that I'm not just doing what I think they need, but I need to hear out what, you know, they think would help them.
Right. Pastor Edwards, I know you have done some significant research on separation and divorce. And in my own observation of men going through their own pain and their separation, the process of healing looks different. So some men choose drugs, some men choose drinks, so they be drinking their way out of it just to mask the pain. Some women choose the vagina to mask that pain. But Pastor Edwards, I want to ask you, what does healing look like? What is it supposed to look like from a male perspective when they're going through that, when they have gone through that series of separation and divorce?
I think it's important that it is understood what causes the pain.
Okay.
What is creating the pain. I think a couple of the things that the other guys have said is part of what we need to that understanding. Okay, if you're in a relationship with someone that has caused pain and you need to heal from that, it's important that you mend whatever broken fences exist between yourself and the person. So part of it has to do with listening. Sometimes the person may feel so wounded because of rejection, that healing becomes a little difficult. So we focus on the self. Who am I? Am I an important person? Am I a valuable person? Or am I a reject because this person no longer wants me in the relationship? Am I a victim because this person no longer wants to continue a relationship with me? So a lot depends on how the person sees themselves. Now, if somebody sees themselves as a victim or as a reject, some of those behaviors you mentioned may be what they will turn to. They will try and soak their soul and ease the pain in alcohol or drugs or sex, etc. And also, so if a person feels that this is who they are, then that is how they will try to resolve it. But it's very important to come to a knowledge of who you are, that you're a valuable person, you're a respectable person, and not because this person, your partner, doesn't want you in this relationship anymore, doesn't mean you are not a worthwhile, valuable person who can sustain a relationship. So the healing can come within the relationship, And it can also and needs to take place within the person. So there are two levels at which the healing needs to take place.
Okay.
Wow. I think I want to kind of just throw out here real quick, because there's some of us who are married and we might be doing okay. Some might be strong in their marriage, but for those who have had a divorce or they've had a bad relationship, they have to move on, right? So if they're going to move on, how healthy do they need to be? So the question that I have, and we spoke quite a bit last week, and you know what men did and what we experienced when we did this for the wife, or we either built a house or we sacrifice our time or gifts or whatever it is. But the point is that if we were to kind of take ourselves out of the picture for a minute and then see from her perspective, and as if she was flying the wall, and said, what would she say about me? Not just what I think I am being to her or what I'm saying to her, but what would she say about me if I wasn't there? So, gentlemen, if you can, what do you believe your wife would say about you in her own space, maybe with her friends or whatever it is, to say, well, why I am with this man or why I am not with this man? Because we got to get deep in this thing, because for us to have breakthroughs, we have to have breakdowns. So I think that there's a question I want to throw out there. What would that sound, what do you believe that would look like if they could actually express themselves as far as who we are in their world?
Anyone of us can answer, or we have to be direct?
Yeah, you got to go right ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
Well, again, it's a very general question, but some of the things I could say that putting myself in that woman's position to say, okay, here are the things I'd say. I mean, he's mean. He's just thoughtless. He comes home. He doesn't help me in the house. He wants me to prepare food. He wants me to pamper him. He wants me to give him sex. And he doesn't help me with anything in there.
Talk to me. Okay. Let's keep it real, man. I like
he's
that.
He's thoughtless. He doesn't help with the children. He doesn't have time to communicate with me. If I'm talking to him, he doesn't want to listen. He just say, okay, and then move on to what you want to do about that. Or okay, let's fix that problem. So he doesn't listen. So that's why I talk to my girlfriends. That's why I find another friend who will listen, because he wants to solve my problem without just listening to what I have to say.
Powerful.
Okay?
Wow.
So that's probably what I think she's talking to her girlfriend and yap with her girlfriend about. But he's just not available. Fine. He provides the food. Mm-hmm. Yes. He's there. But he's not emotionally connected. I can't feel him.
Mm.
He's not there at all. And sometimes he speaks down to me as if I'm one of the children.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. He doesn't talk to me like I'm a person. He talks to me as if I'm part of the furniture. And I don't appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go to people who invalidate me and make me feel respected. I stick around with him because he provides some things, but I don't know how long I'm going to be able to pay this.
Wow. G-Mac, Gary, I'd like to hear you, sir. That was powerful, Pastor.
Well, I think
get right to it. This is tough. This is called two week toughness, man. 2 week toughness, bro.
Listen, she'll probably say I talk too much.
And I really? Well, wait, hold on.
Not Gary.
That's interesting. What do you mean by that? You talk too much? Usually men don't talk about nothing.
Right. So the problem solver. I'm usually ahead. I'm seeing ahead, and I'm analytical, basically just analyzing things and, you know, what would happen if this is done or if it's not done. And I would want to have conversations about these things in order to prevent them.
Okay. But,
you know, most of the time.
So what would you say? I want to hear the dirt, man. I want to hear the real stuff, man. I want to get the gut of it, man. Let's go, Gary.
Do me a favor. Rephrase the question for me, please.
Okay. What would your ex-girlfriend, ex-wife, what would they say about you to their friends, if you weren't there, then what they were saying, I'm describing my man, you know, my man who was.
Okay, so either you don't believe what I'm saying.
Not what you say.
Right. So, so she can't say that I don't help with the kids because I have them all the time.
All right. Go ahead.
People see it. I mean, you know.
All right. That's one.
You're a witness. Can't say I don't listen.
Well, we don't know that.
But what would she say? What do you think she would say?
Yeah. What would she say?
This is what I was saying. I talk too much. Right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's gonna say she's probably gonna say the next thing that she's gonna say. My train of thought went. Sorry about that. But
Bring it back, Lord. Bring it back.
No, I'm conscious of it, you know, the time that I'm taking to say what I have to say. Yeah, I'm too detailed. So it's like, sometimes you just want to rest and relax. You don't want to think too much. That's you're having a conversation with me that you're going to have to apply yourself in that manner. And sometimes it's just too much. Oh, the other thing you would say, and you wouldn't even, you know, say anything. This is when they get upset and they're like, and I'm just like,
shut down.
I'm calm because I can't take back anything that I say, you know. And before I say some, you know, a soft answer to temporary wrath, but grievous words does what? Stirs up anger, you know. So I have to exercise a certain level of wisdom, patience, and, you know, understanding. I know that when two people are arguing, it's hard to tell which one them say. Otherwise, which one are the fools? So I'm listening. I have to also be responsible with her feelings, you know. So, because at the end of the day, you know, this might be said like, you know, how many years ago, but they still remember. I know I would. So.
All right. Okay. Mr. Justin.
It's hard to come after Pastor Edwards with all that. I was like, what more is there to be said? I know for me, my wife, you know, it's probably be like, oh, he has a double standard. You know, he tells me to do this, but he doesn't do it. Not emotionally connected. Because like Gary said, I'm a problem solver too. Like, the problem happens, I'm trying to, hey, how can we mend this and keep it going? You know, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So I'm always thinking, okay, how can we reconcile this by the end of the day? But sometimes my wife needs to process. Sometimes days need to go by, do other things.
Interesting. And,
just give it time and space to process, and then come back around, and everything might be fine. But those days can be rough because, you know, things aren't right. But got to give her that space, that time, because, you know, everybody doesn't process or deal with those issues. So I could imagine her saying a couple of those things. We don't have kids yet, so we do have a kid on the way. Thank you.
Congratulations, my brother. Congrats.
Appreciate it. First kid. So, yeah, that'll be on a whole nother level, and I know some of you guys are further along and can speak to that. But, yeah, that would be what comes to mind.
Okay.
All right.
Tyrone?
Well, I think Mr. Pastor Edwards said it hard. Yeah.
No, Pastor Edwards, me speaking for everybody tonight.
And I can give you my ex-wife number. Maybe she will tell you more in details.
Oh, my God.
But I think she would say the first thing, he doesn't spend enough time at home. Second thing, I easily shut down just to avoid the argument, because don't mean to be rude or anything, but women never stop, right? So
careful, I'm in the room.
Yes, yes, that's what I said.
I'm just playing with you. I'm just playing with you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Fix it up, yeah, brother.
Yes, so that's what she would say. I could do more with the kids. It's just basic, the timing with the, yeah, and to fix things, I could be more faster with fixing things, and I'm a little bit casual with life. I take life too simple.
Okay.
And maybe she have more to say, but you can call her.
Oh my God.
So, complacent.
So, gentlemen, this question is a bit. I mean, I kind of sprang it on you, but there is that I realized in relationships, you know, the first thing is to protect ourselves. I think, you know, instinctively, and it's amazing how when in the Garden of Eden, when after they sinned, and God approached Adam, and the first thing he said was, "The woman you gave me." You know, so the blame game starts. So it's something about us not really being honest with ourselves, you know, and wanted her to really see us the way we are, because her experience is real to her because of what we do. I know in my experience, I missed many miles in many areas, but it took a while for me to look back and say, connect the dots and see what I thought I was doing and what it really was. And just something just wasn't working. So I had to peel off those layers and say, my goodness, you know, I really didn't hear her. I wasn't listening carefully enough to hear what she was saying or listen to understand. Sometimes we men have a good way of shutting down real quick. We can tune out real quick. And I think that a part of us healing is knowing that, listen, where did I really go wrong? Where did I really miss the mark? So we can move on and be better men, be our best selves. I mean, that's the idea. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's good to have someone like Pastor, his name, help me out here, please.
Pastor Edwards
here as an older gentleman who has lived longer than us and been married longer than us and have wisdom. And I want to hear, when I like what he said, Pastor Edwards, was that you were so transparent. You really gave us the real deal. You know what? This is what it is. And you're man enough to embrace that humanity and the realness that, you know what? Mm-hmm. Yes, it is what it is. But guess what? I can look at the good, the bad, the ugly. You know, I can now decipher things, and I can be the best me. I can understand her, where she's coming from. I like how you kind of brought it in.
I have a question. I hear a little common thread when listening to all the things that a woman would say. And one of the things I hear jumping out at me, and being that I'm a woman, you guys are not emotionally connected. So you're there to fix the problem. And men are usually like that. There is an issue because you guys are naturally logical. So there's a problem, I'm gonna fix it. But what about the emotional connection? Can that be a part of the healing? You recognizing that, hey, I need to be a little bit more understanding, listen more. What was that process like, even in going through your own pain? Was there an epiphany to say that, hey, I really need to listen more, or I need to be more emotionally connected? And I'm directing this question at Tyrone and Gary.
What if a man is...
I hear the woman complaining based on what you're saying, that men are not, you're not emotionally connected. You weren't emotionally connected in the relationship. So I'm saying, in the healing process, is this something that you would look at moving forward, going into a new relationship, that, hey, I need to be more connected this way. I'm going to make an effort to be more connected to her emotionally this way. It may be hard for me, but I'm willing to do it. Was it something that came to you, like, probably I wasn't so attached that way?
For me, yes. Yes. I see where I can improve on that. Mm-hmm. And I decided that I will definitely do that. And my first thing is try to have some patience. I just don't have patience. So I'm working on that. I tell you what, this COVID thing seems to work out in my favor for a while now, because I am learning how to deal with problems like these. So I'm working on it. I even get females, instead of run to the guys, my friends, and I get females' opinion. How would they handle this? How would they like this to be done? Yeah, just doing things a little bit different now.
Okay. I like that. That's good.
It was a total opposite for me. If anything, I was just, you know, really making a lot of sacrifices in terms of, you know, for one, my schedule, you know, causes me to be very flexible. So it was, you know, a lot easier. That probably was to my advantage, as opposed to someone that, you know, have to spend a lot of time away, you know, at work. But, you know, if I was supposed to hear something like that, I would have to be, you know, realistic about how I would, you know, try to make an adjustment, because, you know, it's like you can't stop work, really and truly, because then some things are gonna have to, you know, shelved. You know, so if you as a woman like to go out and eat out a lot, and you know. Get nice things and money or on certain little things that some women tends to identify with as you know,
happy life,
being emotionally attached and, you know, considering, you know, their needs and whatever, or desires, then that's something that they, you know, sometimes it's the house. Yeah, you know, if you just live another, you know, on the apartment, one bedroom and all the two bedroom and them something there, you understand?
You know,
but a lot of times I don't think they're necessarily willing to give up that, you know, those things, and they want it all. So, you know, that's what I mean in terms of being realistic. Like, what are some of the things that you can, you know, have some balance, it'll have to meet somewhere along the line. I'm not saying it's not going to always be 50-50. That's the
All right. So, I mean, we're racing through the time, and I want to jump into the viewers' questions and comments. And so I'm going to direct this question to the two pastors in the room. And this question says, what does it take for men to connect or reconnect when there is a disconnect?
I think
pastor, go first.
Yeah, I want the, you know, the one with less wisdom, I think, should go first, so that the more wise pastor can clean it up after. I think that's what you should do, you know.
Okay.
It's not gonna be easy to follow him. So, you know, I'd rather just go first. The expectations aren't as high, and then he could close. So
That's not true, but go
tag
ahead.
Tag team partner, I hear you.
Nah, but yeah, say the question again, because now I
know. So what does it take for men to connect or reconnect when there is a disconnect?
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I've been married 5 years, so like I said, not an expert, I'm learning. But I would say, I think humility and a desire to fix and grow and work on it, because, you know, it sounds like this person that's asking this is someone who desires. So,
yes.
Yeah, you know, a humility to say, man, I don't know, help me. So humility, you know, being open to make yourself emotionally vulnerable. Even myself, I'm not all the way there. I'm trying to learn. I'm asking questions. I'm reaching out to other men who are better at that than me. So I think having that community of, okay, I'm not alone. Let me reach out to someone who maybe has been down this road. I think that's one thing. So yeah, that humility to know I need to improve and being willing to maybe get help from others. That would be first couple things that come to mind.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Pastor Edwards.
I agree with Justin. I think that's a very good place to start, the question of humility, because it's really recognized that, look, I don't know it all. And the disconnect could have come because I may have been thinking that I know it, I have to control, I have to fix, I have to do. The humility side says, look, I really don't know it all. And I made myself available to you to listen to you. And you can tell me what you would like, and I will try. If new turf for me in terms of reconnecting, as the person is asking. It's new turf for me. And reconnecting is like a language you have to relearn. Because if you have been practicing or behaving in a particular way for so many years in a relationship, when your spouse says to you that, look, you want to reconnect, this is what you need to do. It's going to be tough to make that it's going to be tough to make that mental transition, but that is what is required to really ask for help. And asking for help is to be able to say to the person, how can I be more responsive and how can I be more helpful to you? So humility.
All right.
You know, one point, Lady Mister, I want to bring out here.
Go ahead.
I think it's important. You know, I was raised in a culture that really objectifies women. And even in the church that I grew up in, a lot of times when you hear about humility or dressing or adornment, or it was always geared towards a woman. Most of the example that they use was always she was basically used most of the time as to the standard of what it's supposed to be. And, you know, it's funny how, you know, when, you know, in the Bible days, when the woman was caught in the act of adultery, you know, they brought her out, but where was the guy? You know, where was the man who was involved? So I think the culture would be commercial, be it movies, be it advertisement, pornography is a huge thing, big part in the culture, and most men have been exposed to it, from big brother, uncle, friend, schoolmate, whatever, classmate, magazines, and a lot of things we see that women have been objectified so much. So we have somewhat been affected by it, whether we want to believe it or not, some to different levels. And I think the man who has probably was spiritual and probably have opened himself to actually get healing can address the issue when he goes into marriage more effectively or less effectively. Right. So I think a lot of us, we have actually have been affected by our culture. So even when we get married or get involved, we wrestle with these things. How do we really connect with a woman? You know, more than just an object. Okay, she talks too much, or she's a nagging, she's yapping too much, she's this, she's that. Yeah. So a lot of men, and you know, I was born in Jamaica, and I've heard enough to know that women were seen as a side piece, you know? And so I think, I hear you gentlemen here speak tonight. I hear a sense of awareness that I'm really appreciating. A sense of humility, a sense of wanting to be better, to do better. And it's not to pity patty ourselves, but strong men are vulnerable. Strong men are saying, there's something I can get it wrong too. Strong men are saying, you know what? I am just, we are one. How can we become become the oneness that God would have us to be. And yeah. and that's something I just want to point out, because we sometimes are affected not knowing how affected we are and how we treat our spouse or exes or girlfriends in that sense of the word.
Yeah, I have another question here from a viewer. Well, I have quite a few, but I want to ask this one. It says here, my husband ghosts me and it's frustrating. I share my issues. He takes over a month to answer. Is that normal?
Wow.
Man, let me ask Pastor Edwards. Is that normal, Pastor?
Sorry, I didn't get the first part of what you
so,
said.
So she says her husband ghosts her. That means he ignores her, ignores the situation. Okay. Right? So that's, yeah, they call it ghosting.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating. So yes. she continues to say, I share my issues. He takes over a month to answer. Is that normal?
It isn't. It is one of the behaviors that there's this guy who talks about the four horsemen of relationships. And mm-hmm. it is one of them is stonewalling. And that sounds like stonewalling. It is where it is almost contemptuous. I don't have to give you an answer. I don't have to respect you. I don't have to do what you want. And it's a kind of casual, careless approach to someone in a relationship. And if you value the other person, you don't do that. You at least be courteous. So something something is wrong, is fundamentally wrong with that relationship. If a wife could ask a husband for raise a question and it takes so long to answer. Just another thing I'd want to say is the absence of what helps to reconnect as well is empathy. Mm-hmm. And okay. empathy is really trying to get into the other person's shoes or mm-hmm. get or see things from the other person's perspective.
Yes.
To be able to do that requires suspending your feelings, your thoughts, just where you are for a moment. And somebody who does that is making no space in their life for their spouse. Because you have to think that as she expresses, she's frustrated and naturally frustrated. And you wonder whether he's doing this willfully to punish her or whether he's doing this. I cannot believe that it's not, he doesn't know any better. But it really shows that there are some underlying issues that need to be addressed in that relation. It's not normal. Okay.
I see another question here, Pastor, just to follow up on that. I see another question here from someone who is listening and they sent me a message. I hear the guests talking about emotional reconnection. Let me see if I can get this straight. My husband does everything else around the house, but gives me time, attention, and sex. Is that normal as well?
Again, that comes right back to the issue of empathy and emotional connection.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's part of our socialization. Men are not taught, we have a culture in our society where we are not taught to express our feelings. Women express their feelings more, but men are told to hold it in and be a man. And so if you cry, you're a mama boy or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you seem feely touchy as or touchy feely, then people look down on you. So we are not encouraged to express our feelings. So we are dunce when it comes on to emotional intelligence. It comes on to really, really connecting with ourselves and understanding how other people feel. We are really dunces when it comes on to that. And it is an era of relationships that is so important. And one of the things I do in premarital preparation, I think I heard that in the discussion that came up one evening, last night, your meeting, is that you encourage persons before they get married to really do some premarital preparation. So they look at these attitudes and approaches that persons have. And these are, it is in the preparation and the courting time and so on that you pick up some of these approaches that persons have. And there are ways that when a person can connect, but sometimes our love language is different.
Yeah.
And a man may feel all he needs to do for a woman is just do the practical things. But she also wants to hear, I love you. She also wants to know that you spend time and just listen without quarreling, without criticizing, without judging, without condemning. Just listen. And when you say listen, say, but really, just listen. Just listen, not to move to fix it, but just listen. And then she gets that, she feels connected. A woman loves conversation, and a good conversation for a woman makes her connect.
Wow. And sometimes
some men are very sharp in that area.
I think
after you'll be preaching.
Yes, I think we have a caller at this time coming in.
Okay.
I think it's Coach Raquel has a question that she wants to ask.
Hello.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I think I just wanted to say thank you.
Yes, we can. Go ahead, Coach.
Okay, I just wanted to say thank you for coming and having the conversation. When I wrote the poem I wrote, it was when I felt that I personally was having experiences with men and I realized that I really did not know what it was like to have a conversation with a man, to have a relationship with a man.
Okay.
Or interaction with men. Because I'm 39 years old and I'm learning that we are, I mean, I've read the books, I've worked in the Sexual Health Authority, but I'm just realizing just how different we truly, truly, truly are.
Yeah.
We do not communicate the same way. It's like two different sides of the same coin. So we say one thing and another thing is heard. And I think as a coach, what I learned to do is to understand that this is an experience I'm having, and that's an experience you're having in interacting. And I think sometimes if we could get to the place of understanding that what I'm experiencing isn't fact, nor is it fiction, nor is it true, or is it false. It's just an experience I'm having. And if the other person could realize that it's an experience I'm having too, it doesn't mean I'm wrong and the other person's right, or the other person's right and I'm wrong. It's just an experience in this moment. I don't know if that could help us, but I just wanted to say thank you, men, for having the conversation. And even for those of you who think sometimes what you're going to say doesn't matter, I cannot begin to explain to you how much it matters. It matters so much because it's important for us, especially your Black men. And I grew up thinking, I really thought Black men couldn't love. Honestly, that's what I thought. I thought they went through so much. The Black man wasn't spared so much that how can he love after seeing his mother treated the way, that kind of poverty for the women around him? How does he truly love? Just for the fact that he wasn't spared much, you know, all the hate and the abuse and the poverty and all of that, and being fearful because you don't know what's going to happen because you're Black. So I used to wonder, can he really love? But I just wanted to say, as I sat here and I listened, and from last week, and I'm just listening and processing, and you're putting voices to male faces. And I just want to say thank you because it means so much to me that you're doing this. And get a little bit of an insight, or at least try to get an insight into where half the things you say I really truly don't understand. I'm just trying to understand, trying to connect with it. And it makes me so afraid of relationships because I'm like, man, can I connect? But I guess the lesson for me is we are so different that it's going to take a lot of listening and respecting and processing and trying to understand that we're just having different experiences.
Wow. Right. Well said, well said. Very profound indeed.
Thank you so much, Coach Raquel. I have another question. And I think I want to direct this question to Justin. I know that he works well with young people and young men, and I know you got it. Okay, you got this, Justin. You got this. So this question says, what if as a man you cause a separation because of an addiction, and after much counsel, prayer, and assertiveness, it feels hopeless and still feels like a broken, unmendable person?
Yeah, I saw that question. And to the,
how do we help?
Yeah, to a woman just called, that was powerful too, because I didn't know it was making that type of connection with people, so that's great to know. But yeah, to that person, gotta, keep hope. You gotta keep that door open, now it's like, okay, is this person a believer? Are they a Christian? Adherent to the scriptures? Because then that plays a role in how do you move forward in that? Because, the word does direct us on, keeping that door open until, is this person married? Or are they just dating? I probably would need more information. So, if they're married and that person's left, they messed it up because their addiction. Mm-hmm. I counsel them. Yeah, make sure they're getting counseling. They've cleaned up. They've healed, and be willing to come back to that person. And you may have to prove yourself. It might take a couple years. You might need some outside people who can maybe vouch for you that you have changed, that something is different, and you have to be open to the possibility that unfortunately that person might have moved on. I think Gary said this last week that sometimes we don't hear the fact that. Sometimes getting out of something is the best healing that there is. I think maybe years ago, the old school was like, no, fight no matter what, stay in some bad stuff. And while I would say marriages did last longer back in the day, there were a lot of bad relationships that people were just staying in because they were too embarrassed or that's not what people were doing. And then now in our day, it seems like people are getting out of stuff too quickly, too easily, and don't want to fight. You ate my dinner last night. I hate you. I'm out of here. You know what I'm saying? Or, usually you hear about irreconcilable differences, and it's like, what is that? That could be anything. I would encourage that person that, don't give up. Continue to, as long as that door is open, continue to contact that person, hear from them, listen, be a good listener, and but be open to the fact that unfortunately there are consequences for our actions too, and sometimes we blow it and it's over for you. And I hope that's not the case, but you do have to be. The Bible does say in Galatians 6:7, you reap what you sow. So you might have. I got a guy at my church that, he was on crack and drugs for 40 years, homeless, married twice, and all these things, had kids, and all this stuff. And now he's like in his 70s. He wants to be married. He wants a mate. And sometimes I have to remind him, man, like, man, you had your chance before and you kind of messed it up. And I'm not going to say God can't open the door for you at 70, but, you got to keep in mind that, sometimes,
long time coming.
Yeah. So sometimes we do have to keep in mind that sometimes our sin does come back to hurt us later. And sometimes that's what we have to deal with, and it's not always going to end in a rose colored, it's not always going to be a bow put on the end of your situation in this life, at least. So.
Great point. It Lady Misty, I was thinking that I look at my own life, my experiences, and my divorce, what I realized is that going into marriage, I was equipped. Of course, Pastor Edward must talk about counseling and the right kind of counsel. But one thing I believe that was important for me to this day, I was very vulnerable and I was very open to the fact that it can go south, it can go left, it can go right. And my main focus wasn't about just it actually going one way. It was about the fact that I want to be true in my moment,
okay, in
my situation. So I knew that I could get hurt. So I loved all I loved. I mean, I loved all everything I had. I believe I did. And so it was okay. Looking at life and looking at reality that, listen, you know what? I was unprepared in many ways. She was unprepared in many ways. And life sometimes happens. But I think I'm now don't want to guard my heart in such a way or block my own, you know, my own openness and vulnerability and lose out on love. So whether it's the first wife or like some have 2, 3, 4 wives they've gone through or I've had, I want to now love again as if I was the first time. You know, no baggage, no hurt. She probably did her best. I did my best. It, you know, we just didn't, it just didn't work the way we probably would have loved it to work. But it's okay. You know, it's okay.
It's okay.
And once I know that I can be vulnerable, I can love again, hurt again, but I'm gonna do my best to be the best I can be, even as I look forward to that day again. So just a thought of my thought there.
All right, but we're almost out of time, guys. I can't believe we're almost out of time again. But I want to close with this question. And I'm throwing it to everybody so everybody can just take a peek at it.
Like a minute, real quick.
Yes, and I think I know that Gary and Tyrone, they have experienced separation. And you too, DJ KTE.
Yeah.
So if you had one chance to go back in time to fix your relationship with all the knowledge that you know now, what would you do differently, if anything?
For me, I spend some more time. I would never work on a cruise ship again. I'll try to be a little bit more emotion attached to her. I listen more, and I will be a little more romantic.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
For me, I think it's a little tricky because while the marriage did not last, I think there were some beneficiaries in that situation where the children were, because, you know, I was, you know, imparting discipline. I was the disciplinarian. The youngest son had said to me, you know, he just wasn't used to that because his biological father never did that and his mom never did that. So when I came and I was doing that, and I came into the picture, it was like, I was seen as, you know, the bad guy in a sense, but, you know, I was able to show him in the scriptures, children obey your parents and, you know, certain things that, the Bible says, you know, train a child the way they should grow, even though it wasn't my biological children, but they didn't ask to be in the situation. However, I had to, you know, do my part. So, but if I have no regrets about that part. But if I was supposed to fix the situation, that marriage would have never happened because, you know, what I did was, and I think maybe, you know, she probably, you know, got something out of it, you know, even, you know, after it ended, maybe she's, you know, looking and saying, you know what, you know, some stuff I made a big deal out of, it was just, you know, maybe I was just being selfish, or that was not the best way to approach it, because I'm sure my absence is obvious now, because a lot of things that she had access to, it's not going to come by so easy in another individual. I know I'm a special guy, not being conceited or anything like that, but you know, that I know about myself. Another thing is what she wanted me to do was to, you know, put the, you know, my, you know, my music and all this stuff aside and go do what everybody else is doing, the 9 to 5. And that was never me. Like I said, I don't know what it's like to do a 9 to 5 or a job interview, you know, but my life is a testament. I've done stuff. I've done stuff without commercials and advertising myself. So, you know, I wouldn't have lost a lot of those 10 years. I think I would be, you know, probably married right now to someone else that appreciate, you know, that understand. You know, I think one thing I wanted to say is that a lot of people, they get married for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, 10 seconds. Yeah, 10 seconds.
Yeah, a lot of people get married for the wrong reasons, right? And that leads to a whole bunch of things that could have been avoided in the first place. You know, what's the purpose of marriage? I think that's the thing that we need to ask ourselves before we, you know, get into that situation and the reality collides with our fantasies.
All right. I know we're out of time, but any parting words? I want to hear from Pastor Edwards and Justin.
In relationships, just a quick thing to say that I was married and remarried. So that puts me, I'm not different or separate from the story.
Okay.
But what I have learned in my new relationship for about 50 years is that it's important to be present. It's important to be emotionally connected. And one of the things that I have learned from the wound or pain of the first relationship is that I did not use that to bury myself or to think that I was a victim or to think that I was a reject or any of that. I did not internalize that. I used it as an opportunity to help others. And hence the group I spoke about, director of Press Start, which is a support group for persons experiencing separation and divorce. And we meet at Family Life Ministries every third Saturday at 6 o'clock. And we do this online now, but it's an opportunity to help other persons going through their pain to heal with a support group. And when you hear from other persons who have gone through the pain, that is what I've invested the last 20 years of my life doing.
And what's the website name, Pastor Edward?
Fresh Start.
Gotcha.
Yes.
It's a divorce recovery support group with Family Life, associated with Family Life Ministries. Nice. If anyone calls Family Life Ministries, they'll get some more information about Fresh Start.
Thank you so much, Pastor Edwards.
Love it.
Yeah, thank you.
Guys, this is You Me Radio. You're on Let's Talk Relationships. And again, an awesome episode. Powerful gentlemen, black men came and showed up and showed out and they did their thing. I love it, love it, love it. Lady Misty, I tell you, you were like putting this man through the ringer tonight. You gave him a hard time, Misty.
Wow. Yeah, I felt so good just to be in the company of kings.
Yeah.
Good night, gentlemen. Have an awesome night. Thank you to our producer, all the sponsors, those who listened to us tonight, those who sent in their comments. Sorry, I couldn't read all of them, but I saw them. Thank you so much. Thank you so much to Justin and Gary and Tyrone, Pastor Edwards. Thank you to DJ KT Ika. You pitched in.
These guys, they inspired me. Man. They had me going. So, we brotherhood, we stay together.
Yes. Thank you so much, guys. Have a good night.
Gentlemen, God bless.
Good night. Thanks for having me. Blessings, guys.
Blessings to you.
What are you talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE,
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio.
Our crew includes executive producer Keith Marrett, producers Marsha J, hosts DJ KTE and Lady Misty, associate producer Rochelle Smith-Haslam and Delos Delgado. Our sponsors are UME Digital Inc. We create and distribute content across our media portfolio, offering integrated marketing, media and business services to customers and advertisers, including digital solutions, performance and advertising opportunities. Our brands are committed to inspiring and empowering families. Go to umedigitalinc.com for more information on products and services. MyCoachMinistry.com, transforming lives through mindfulness education, success coaching, and spiritual awareness conversations. Go to MyCoachMinistry.com for more information on Mindfulness in Ministry Masterclass, success coaching, and more. AccessBusinessTree.com, an empowerment tool to help business pros build around their ministry. And Shop and Own. Shop and Travel Business is a one-stop shop for brand builders and influencers seeking to own the brand they're building while securing the right partnerships and collaborators to monetize their work. Sign up today and get exclusive deals, discounts, and offers from our partners. Sign up at umeradio.com. Follow us at Let's Talk Relationships Show and via WhatsApp group LTR Exclusive Offers. Contact us at 201-503-6731. All the information we just shared, as well as contact details for our guests, can be found in the description bar. Don't forget to subscribe, click the notification bell for notifications, and comment. We want to hear from you. Tell us what topics you want us to talk about on our next episode.